This is the E-Commerce Brain Trust, a podcast about building momentum online for established consumer brands. Join our hosts and their expert guests for high-level conversations about e-commerce strategies, trends, and innovations. Access our brain trust and boost your brand's e-commerce potential.
Hello and welcome back to the E-Commerce Brain Trust podcast. I'm Kiri Masters, Head of Retail Marketplaces Strategy at Acadia.
And I'm Julie Spear, Head of Retail Marketplace Services here at Acadia. And today we have two special guests, Andrelys Bautista McGlade and Lisa Levin from personal care brand Pharmacopoeia, who happens to be one of our wonderful clients here at Acadia. Welcome to the show, Lisa and Andrelys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We, of course, know you well and have worked with you for a number of years now, but our listeners might not be as familiar with the brand Pharmacopoeia. Can you explain the history of your brand?
Yes. So I was a graphic designer, and I became interested in herbal medicine when I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And I had gone from doctor to doctor, and no one could really help me until I found an herbalist and a naturopath. And I learned about the healing properties of plants and how lifestyle choices affect our health. So I started studying herbalism and aromatherapy and began experimenting in my kitchen from plants that I grew in my garden. I wanted to create simple and effective products that were not filled with toxic ingredients. We were one of the first paraben-free lines. We'd never had parabens in our products because I was specifically trying to create products that had no toxins. So we were clean before clean beauty was really even a thing. This was 25 years ago. At the time, there were not that many products that were healthy, but were in stylish packaging. And so because I was a graphic designer, I wanted to design it and to be beautiful. And because I had that expertise, I could. Originally, we started selling out of natural grocery stores and gift shops.
What year was this all, Lisa?
1997.
Okay.
Long time ago.
Yeah. And so there's been some evolutions since then. Maybe that's something that Andrelys can speak to.
Yes. So I met Lisa back in 2005, and a mutual friend had introduced us. I was looking for a company to partner with, and Lisa was looking for a partner. And I fell in love with the brand. You know, back then, I was going to a bunch of like baby showers, and moms were so concerned about what they were putting on their bellies. And the only place you could actually get products were in health food stores. And I fell in love with the packaging and the fact that it was all natural. I mean, back then, everything was pretty kind of crunchy and not so beautiful and mainstream as the Pharmacopoeia labeling was. So I joined Lisa in 2006. And Pharmacopoeia was transitioning from a gift product to natural groceries. So they were in some Whole Foods and Wegmans, just to name a few. And then we started to transition into beauty with distribution in some of the beauty chains in the Midwest and a couple of showings on QVC. Just as a side note, we were one of the first organic brands on QVC, and I think we were way too early. They had us on like 1 o'clock in the morning, and not a lot of people at 1 o'clock in the morning wanted organic body care. Unfortunately, it wasn't very successful, but it was a huge honor to be like the first organic beauty product. Yeah.
I can imagine.
Oh my God.
So translate to like Amazon Live these days. That's where.
Yeah. We're in the green room and just watching every time Lisa mentioned something and the sales would spike, they'd say, okay, say that again. Oh. And so she'd say it again for the sales to spike, but probably very similar to what's going on in Amazon right now in the back with all the
Except data. You have a producer in your ear saying, yeah. You know, touch the product, do this, look at the camera. You know, it's like
it's like real time SEO and
real time. Yeah. It was fascinating.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it was fascinating. We were focusing more on beauty, and then we were approached by John Hunter from Hunter Amenities, who was looking for a natural brand to license. And because Lisa and I have been self-funded or have been self-funding Pharmacopoeia over the years, you know, we were able to be really nimble, and we went with Hunter and they've been great. They were really looking for, John was specifically looking for a brand that was authentic and natural and women-owned. We just happened to be at the right place at the right time. And because of the economic downturn of 2008, we decided to pivot and became an exclusive hotel brand. Then if you fast forward to mid-2019, we were getting constant requests from Facebook that we kind of just kept live from customers who found our products in hotels and loved it and wanted to purchase it for their own personal use. And that's when we decided to relaunch our aromatherapy retail line. And of course, you start with Amazon because that's where you go. We started with Amazon mid-2019 and then our own branded site in April 2020. And it's been off to the races ever since.
Wow. It's so fascinating. I want to dig into a couple of parts of the story here. So Hunter Amenities, that is a hotel amenities specialist like broker.
They are manufacturer and distributor.
Gotcha. They're one of the largest hotel amenities companies in the world. Yeah. And they're based in Canada.
And they've also, because of them, we're probably the top five hotel amenity brand in the world today.
Wow. As part of that deal, so you said you pivoted to an exclusive hotel brand. So was that an agreement with the hotel?
No, you know what? That was really a lifestyle. I've had two kids since then. Lisa was raising her kid. Being an entrepreneur in the organic beauty world was exhausting. And then the economic downturn, and we're just like, you know what? Let's reset.
I think also because the hotel amenities royalties that we were getting was allowing us to fund our business. It really worked that we didn't have to go and find investors. It was like a whole different business model that we stumbled upon that it actually turned out to be very smart.
So it's a royalty model, not a manufacturing model.
Royalty model, but they also, when we went back into retail, they actually manufacture our retail products too.
Oh, still today?
Still today.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, it helps with inventory. I mean, I have to say, a plug for Hunter. They've been an amazing partner. And we feel like they want us to be successful. So they do what they can on the operations side as well, on the manufacturing side.
Oh, it's so interesting. This is honestly like a whole new world to us. I guess like the closest thing we would see on for a lot of our clients is co-packers working with CPG brands. That's not even a royalty model. That's a manufacturing relationship. So it seems quite unique.
Just to clarify, so it's a royalty model on the hotel amenities side, and they run the hotel amenities business. We have our say in what they produce, what it looks like, what it smells like, but they run the business. But on the retail side, our e-commerce side, they manufacture the products. We buy it from them. We sell it.
Gotcha. Yep.
So on the e-com side, when you kind of decided, you said 2019 to make the pivot and move on to Amazon. Thinking back to that point in time, if you were to summarize it, what are some of the main tips or pieces of advice that you might offer brands as they're considering their journey into e-com?
I think that we really found out that if you're serious about Amazon and e-commerce, that it's really important to get a partner to help you. And we can honestly say that Bobsled, now Acadia, has really helped us. We would not have been able to get to the growth that we're having now without you guys. So we're not just saying that. It's totally true. So if you really want to grow, I think you could do it yourself, but why do it when you have these experts who can really help you?
And how do you kind of keep your brand message, your brand identity front and center in a marketplace like Amazon? How did you navigate that? Because obviously it's your brand identity is something that you were very careful about from day one. What is the motivation behind producing your products to the design of the packaging? Your brand identity has been front and center since day one. So how do you translate that as you move into e-com? What did that look like for you?
Well, again, I think we learned a lot from the experts, from Bobsled and being able to be set up. And then in our store, I think our store really mirrored our own branded site. And one of the questions you had asked, or, you know, what is the difference between the Amazon customer and our own customer? And we believe, I'll just throw it out there, we now look at all sales holistically. we no longer compartmentalize our brand sales.
Yeah.
Even in our marketing, our own marketing strategy, we are looking at it as a whole. Basically, like our Amazon customer, we feel is in there for convenience. And if they want to buy maybe one SKU or two SKUs, Lisa and I are Amazon shoppers, so we get it. If you want your shampoo, you want it tomorrow, you go to Amazon. Our site, we focus on the education, really connecting with our community. Also, in terms of our promotions, that's where you go. So if you're looking for promotions, you go to our site. If you're looking for fast convenience, you go to Amazon. Amazon also, we don't discount. We rarely discount. And that's Gary. We wouldn't even known that you could do that. I mean, Gary and his team have been amazing in how they have really guided us. Yes. And, you know, one of the questions is, what about how do we work together, or what we would recommend if an agency comes in and how we work with them? Well, we work really closely with them. I mean, I often say if they live close by, we'd have them over for Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, we just feel like they are family now. But we challenge them and they challenge us back. And that's really important. I mean, you just can't leave them on autopilot. Last year, it was sales and growth sacrificing margin. This year, we're focusing more on margin. And they know that. We can work together and come up with a plan to make that happen.
Sticking with the journey a little bit and mixing in your own D2C site. Ultimately, this is a podcast that really does focus on e-com strategy for brands. Brands are often thinking about what role Amazon can play in their overall revenue strategy. What slice of the pie can Amazon drive versus their D2C site? You've talked about how you see it as a total, that you no longer segment your D2C from Amazon and vice versa. But looking at the performance of the channels, what is the mix of your sales between your e-com site and Amazon?
I'll take this 60-40.
And what are the other channels that you're really looking at kind of investing in to help grow your brand?
We see the value in marketplaces, and for the e-commerce play, probably expanding with Amazon into EU and Asia. We've looked at other marketplaces, Walmart, not sure that that's for us, and we haven't really made a decision. It's just kind of just hanging out there. And then big box retailer. Because we're small and self-funded, we've had to be really laser focused on certain milestones and setting up the systems, the growth, making sure that we have consistent growth and now profitability. And then again, trying to capture more and more of these hotel guests, figuring out the marketing without wasting a lot of money.
So I was going to take a stab at answering that. I think that our goal has been to focus on e-commerce and specifically in Amazon and our own branded site, and to really understand that and get that down and get our costs down, our operations costs down, and be sort of slow and steady and work towards profitability. And now we're trying to focus on expansion. So some of the low-hanging fruit would be expanding in Europe, expanding to other marketplaces that seem to be the right fit for us, and also in Asia. And then we're wanting to find the right retail partner to help us get into brick and mortar retail. And we don't really want to spread ourselves too thin in too many directions. We really want to find the right partner.
And somebody who can capitalize on this global brand recognition, someone who has the money to be able to do that.
Well, ideally, we would look for somebody who would want to take us to the next level, to find somebody who really can invest and who already has the distribution and the channels and everything so that they can just slot us right in and run with it.
Yeah, this is a coming full circle a little bit here. So you're in this very unique position where you have a lot of awareness being driven from the hotel distribution.
Right.
What are some of the challenges there? It's not all a bowl of cherries, as far as I can tell.
Right. Well, I think the challenge is really finding those customers or helping those customers find us so that we can convert them to customers. And that's been a little harder than we thought it would be.
I think we mentioned, or maybe not, that we're in 500,000 rooms a day that people are touching our product. I mean, even if we could get like 1.000% of that would be great. We are trying, and you mentioned earlier, the QR codes in the checkouts so that guests can easily purchase the product with a discount. And this discount is for our branded site, as well as Amazon US and Amazon Canada. And we're piloting this with Hyatt Vancouver. And the problem is, it was not a problem, but what we transitioned from single-use hotel amenities to now the larger format. So people aren't bringing the hotel products home anymore and samples, and then finding the sample and saying, oh yeah, I love that product, and then looking on the for our website and then purchasing that way. This really is a way where guests who like the product can easily purchase it and help us to find them as well.
And what does Hyatt get out of that?
Right now, it's in a pilot situation. So
customer satisfaction, though. I mean,
yeah.
at this point, we are not doing any kind of revenue share, but we could see that happening in the future. But right now, it's trying to give our customers something that they want, which is they really want this product. We get so many wonderful reviews from customers who tried it in a hotel. And that's kind of why we went back into retail, was because people were begging us for the product, basically. You know, it's to help their customers.
All right. So I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. What has been the most challenging part of growing your brand in the e-com space?
The most challenging part would be for us, because we were looking to leverage the hotel, is really to for those people to find us, as well as finding the right marketing mix. And it's very easy to go down the rabbit hole and spend lots of money on something that's just not working, hoping that it works. So one of the things I think we're better at is pulling out earlier if the results aren't there, having a shorter window, and then really working in smaller batches. Even with the Acadia group, they'll propose something and we'll be like, okay, you know what, let's test it. Let's see. And then if it proves itself, then we'll put more money behind it. I think we've been better at that, but that's been challenging.
I would add also that we've been trying different things and seeing what works. We started out trying geo-targeting, where we were running ads specifically to people who are in the hotels or within a certain area around the hotels to see if that would work to get them to go to our site. The results were mixed. We've been doing Meta ads, Google ads. On Amazon, we do cross-per-click advertising. We do videos, UGC, different post promotions. So we're sort of trying all of these things. But one of the things that we've learned recently is that our off Amazon advertising is driving customers to Amazon. And we didn't really realize that was happening at first, but now we're pretty sure that that's what's going on.
Yeah, that's why it's important for our marketing strategy to focus on e-commerce as a whole, because they're going there. They may be going onto our site to check it out, but then they're, like said before, they're purchasing on Amazon.
Yeah, that leads into another discussion point that we have here, which is a lot of brands have an aversion to Amazon for various reasons. Sometimes it's their own sort of personal bias or a perception of Amazon as being, at least initially, back when Julie and I first started in this industry, it was like, oh, we're a premium brand. We don't want to be in the same shopping cart as someone's toilet paper. What do you say to premium brands who view Amazon as a mass channel? What would you say if you were at dinner with someone and they said that?
I would say that it's a non-issue now. I think it used to be an issue. I worked for another company where they were really careful about that in the beginning, but everyone's on Amazon. You could find almost every premium brand on Amazon. So I really don't think that it's an issue as it was before. And I think part of what Acadia has helped us do also is to set up our brand protection and also our strategy with not discounting too much. So it's not like we've become a discount brand or anything. We're actually less of a discounter on Amazon than we are in other channels.
I read somewhere that they call it the Amazon economy, and you kind of had to be in it. We'd be foolish not to be.
Well, it's showing up where your customers are.
Exactly. That's where we find most of our hotel people, because that, you know, they, you search on Amazon probably more than you search on Google for products. So that's where they're finding us.
And it shows up in the reviews. We see from the reviews that that's where they found it.
Kind of wrapping up, what do you see as the next big untapped opportunity for Pharmacopeia, whether it be on e-com or otherwise? Beyond, I'm really excited and interested to hear how the pilot program goes with Hyatt Hotels. Someone who sees Pharmacopeia products every time I travel in my hotel room.
Oh, you must be a Hyatt member.
Yeah, I'm a Marriott.
Oh, yes. We were in Marriott for a while.
Yeah, you're still there, at least where I travel.
So. Yeah, during the pandemic, a lot of people had trouble getting things, and some other brands that Marriott used, they couldn't get. And so they started buying us. That was really exciting for us. That was a big boost.
Yep. You are there in my hotel. So beyond the hotel pilot program, what do you see as the next big untapped opportunity for Pharmacopeia?
Well, we have some product launch ideas going on. So we actually are planning to relaunch another scent that used to be our best-selling scent when we first started, our lavender. And so that's going to come sometime this year. And we are actually doing a small reformulation. So it will be even more pristine, even cleaner, so that we can really target someone like Sephora or some of the other brand, you know, stores where we would really like to be in.
Very exciting. Is there anything else that you would want to share with our audience before we wrap up for today about maybe where else they could find you or Pharmacopeia products?
Well, we're excited to be featured in this month's Elle magazine, and customers can get a discount on our product by using that code, or they can go to our website for that. And we would love for them to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, because we always have lots of exciting announcements going on there. And we just really want to thank you so much for letting us tell our story here.
Thank you. It's wonderful. So exciting.
Yeah, it's been lovely having you both here. Thank you for coming on today.
All right. Thanks so much.